Psalm 51. To the choir master, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet went to him after he had gone in to Bathsheba. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Do good to Zion in your good pleasure. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then will you delight in right sacrifices, in burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. Now during his lifetime, King David did what had pleased the Lord, except in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. In 1 Kings chapter 15 verses 4 to 5 we read, 1 Kings chapter 15 verses 4 to 5, nevertheless, for David's sake, the Lord his God gave him a lamp in Jerusalem, setting up his son after him and establishing Jerusalem. Because David did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and did not turn aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, except in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. Psalm 51 is the fourth of the penitential psalms, and we mentioned the penitential psalms when we studied Psalm 6. There are seven penitential psalms in the book of Psalms, and Psalm 6 is the first of them. And the other penitential psalms are Psalm 32, Psalm 38, Psalm 51, Psalm 102, Psalm 130, and Psalm 143. Now all of these psalms are very important for us, especially when we need to confess our sins and draw closer to God in repentance. David had committed the sin of adultery with Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Uriah was a faithful warrior in David's army, and David had deceitfully planned and executed the murder of Uriah, and he had tried to hide his sin for about a year. Then God sent Nathan the prophet to confront David of his sins. And Psalm 51 is written immediately after Nathan the prophet was sent by God to convict David of sin. In 2 Samuel chapter 12 verse 1 we read, and the Lord sent Nathan to David. And the Lord sent Nathan to David. Psalm 51 is David's prayer of confession after Nathan the prophet confronted him with his sins. The entire account of what happened is found in 2 Samuel chapter 11 and chapter 12, and I trust you are familiar with those passages of scripture. It will be good if you go back and read those passages again. 2 Samuel chapter 11 and chapter 12. We also studied Psalm 32 earlier, which David wrote in retrospective after confessing his sins of adultery, murder and deception. Psalm 51 is also the first of 15 consecutive Psalms in Book 2 of the Psalms attributed to David. In his prayer of confession in Psalm 51, David expressed three major requests. First, we see David crying out, saying, "Cleanse me," in verses 1 to 7 of Psalm 51. Then he cries out, "Restore me," in verses 8 to 12 of Psalm 51. And then he cries out, use me," in Psalm 51 verses 13 to 19. Now today we will look into the first 7 verses of the psalm, and God willing, we will study the remaining verses later on. "Cleanse me," verses 1 to 7, Psalm 51. Psalm 51, I read to you verse 1 and 2 again. "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." Now, just as dirt defiles the body, sin defiles the inner person. So it was right for David to feel defiled because of what he had done. He had committed adultery and murder. By committing adultery and murder, he had crossed over the line. He had crossed over the line that God had drawn in his law. He had transgressed God's holy law. Now, just as in Psalm 32, David uses three words here to describe his sin. He uses the word transgression, then he uses the word iniquity, and then he uses the word sin. Now, we find these same words in Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2. "Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit." Now, the first word he uses here is the word transgression in Psalm 51, verse 1. "According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions." Now, the word transgression means positive rebellion. It is doing something knowing fully well that God has forbidden you to do it. It is actually crossing the line and it is rebelling against God. And David knew the Ten Commandments, and he knew very well that adultery, murder, and deceit were forbidden by God in his holy law. Yet you find David transgressing God's holy law. He crossed the line in rebellion. The second word is the word sin. In verse 1, you find that the word sin. Sorry, in verse 2. In Psalm 51 verse 2, "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." The word sin actually means missing the mark. Missing the mark. God's pass mark is 100% holiness. And every human being born under Adam has missed God's pass mark. No one has lived up to the standards that God has set. Then you find the third word, which is iniquity. Iniquity. In Psalm 51, verse 2, "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity." Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. And also in Psalm 32, verse 2, "Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity." It is the Hebrew word, awon, awon. Now, awon comes from the root word, awa, awa. It means twisted, it means perverted, it means crooked. And this is a word that describes the inner character of a person. And this word is connected with our bloodline. We are all fallen children of Adam. And that is why David says in Psalm 51 verse 5, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." This means that we are not sinners just because we commit sins. We are sinners because we are born with a nature which is sinful. David is not speaking about the biological process of birth. "I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." He's not speaking about the biological process of birth. David is stating the fact that he is born with a crooked, twisted, perverted, sinful nature. And all of us are born in this manner. And therefore, unless we are born again, there is no hope for us. Unless we have new birth, born of God's Spirit, there is no hope for us. Jesus, our Savior, came into this world and He shed His blood on the cross to forgive us of our sins and to give us the gift of eternal life so that we could be born of God's Spirit. The moment you turn from sin and turn to Christ by faith, at that very moment, God gives you the gift of eternal life. Eternal life is the very life of God, the very uncreated eternal life of God, which is implanted into you, implanted in you the moment you are born again, the moment you turn to Christ by faith. We turn from sin, we turn to Christ. We would have perished eternally, being separated from God eternally, if Jesus Christ had not come into this world and shed His blood for us on the cross. So David had transgressed God's holy law. He had missed the mark that God had set for him. And that is the word sin. That is what sin means. The word sin means missing God's mark, God's standard of holiness. And all of us have missed God's standard of holiness. All of us have missed God's pass mark, which is 100% holiness. David had yielded to his twisted, perverted, sinful nature, and he had yielded to iniquity. He had dealt deceitfully. He had willfully rebelled against God. According to God's holy law, there is no atonement provided for such deliberate sins. Such deliberate rebellious sins, there is no atonement according to God's holy law. The sinner has to face death. Leviticus chapter 20 verse 10. If a man commits adultery with the wife of his neighbor, both the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. Numbers chapter 35 verse 31 and 32. Moreover, you shall accept no ransom for the life of a murderer who is guilty of death, but he shall be put to death. And you shall accept no ransom for him who has fled to his city of refuge, that he may return to dwell in the land before the death of the high priest. David knew that there was no way of escape from death according to God's holy law. So he cries out to God for mercy. Psalm 51 verse 1 and 2. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. David could appeal only to God's mercy, grace, and love. When the Lord revealed himself to Moses, he said to Moses in Exodus chapter 34 verses 6 and 7, Exodus 34 verse 6 and 7. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. Now David knew that God was a just God and that he deserved to be punished for his sins. He deserved nothing else but the death penalty. But David also knew that God was a God of mercy. That God was a God of love, God was a God of mercy, God was a God of grace. So David pleads to God for mercy. Psalm 51 verse 1. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Now the words blot out refers to a debt that must be paid. Psalm 130 verse 3. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? Psalm 130 verse 3, I read to you from the New Living Translation. Lord, if you kept a record of our sins, who, O Lord, could ever survive? The marks of iniquity or the record of our sins needs to be blotted out by the debt being paid in full. Isaiah chapter 43 verse 25. Isaiah 43 verse 25. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Psalm 51 verse 2. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Now the word cleanse refers to defilement, which is caused by touching something which is unclean. And this is what sin does. Association with sin defiles a person. Just as touching something unclean defiles the body, any association with sin defiles a person. Whether it is an article of wood or a garment or a skin or a sack, Leviticus 11 verse 32, and anything on which any of them falls when they are dead shall be unclean. Whether it is an article of wood or a garment or a skin or a sack, any article that is used for any purpose, it must be put into water and it shall be unclean until the evening, then it shall be clean. Defilement to the body can also be caused by disease such as leprosy. Leviticus chapter 13 verses 1 to 3. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron saying, when a person has on the skin of his body a swelling or an eruption or a spot, and it turns into a case of leprous disease on the skin of his body, then he shall be brought to Aaron the priest or to one of his sons the priest. And the priest shall examine the diseased area on the skin of his body. And if the hair in the diseased area has turned white and the disease appears to be deeper than the skin of his body, it is a case of leprous disease. When the priest has examined him, he shall pronounce him unclean. Now, sin in the heart is like leprosy in the body. And the word wash in Psalm 51 verse 2 and verse 7, you find this word wash. That refers to the cleansing of sin. The cleansing of sin. Psalm 51 verse 2, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Psalm 51 verse 7, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. In the book of Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. In Jewish society of that day, to wash and change clothes marked a new beginning in life. Genesis chapter 35 verse 2. So Jacob said to his household and to all who are with him, put away the foreign gods that are among you and purify yourselves and change your garments. So a change, a washing and changing of clothes marked a new beginning in life. When Joseph was brought out of prison to meet Pharaoh, we read in the scriptures in Genesis chapter 41 verse 14. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they quickly brought him out of the pit. And when he had shaved himself and changed his clothes, he came in before Pharaoh. We see Joseph giving Benjamin an abundance of change of clothes after those many years of being separated from his own brother. In Genesis chapter 45 verse 22, to each and all of them he gave a change of clothes, but to Benjamin he gave 300 shekels of silver and 5 changes of clothes. The Lord told Moses in Exodus chapter 19 verse 10, Exodus 19 verse 10. The Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow and let them wash their garments. The Lord was going to give them a new beginning by revealing his law to them. And so he tells them to wash their garments, meaning to set themselves apart for this new life. Exodus 19 verse 14. So Moses went down from the mountain to the people and consecrated the people, and they washed their garments. Now David also made such a new start. In 2 Samuel chapter 12 verse 20, when he was forgiven by God, David made a new start. 2 Samuel chapter 12 verse 20. Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his clothes. And he went into the house of the Lord and worshipped. He then went to his own house. And when he asked, they set food before him and he ate. He had certainly sinned against Bathsheba and Uriah the Hittite, but his greatest responsibility was to the Lord. The Lord who had given the law, the Lord who had given the law to his people. David had a great responsibility towards the Lord. Psalm 51 verses 3 and 4. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. So David knew that he had not only sinned against Bathsheba and Uriah, he had sinned against the Lord who had given Israel his holy law. 2 Samuel chapter 12 verse 13. David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die. David knew that he had primarily sinned against God's law. Exodus 20 verses 13 and 14. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. And David knew that he had committed both these sins against God's holy law. Godly Jews saw all sins primarily as offenses against the Lord. You see, when Joseph resisted the temptation from Potiphar's wife in Egypt, we read of what he tells her in Genesis chapter 39 verses 7 to 9. And after a time, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, behold, because of me, my master has no concern about anything in the house, and he has put everything that he has in my charge. He is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? David openly acknowledged his sins and vindicated the Lord. Psalm 51 verse 4, against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. In our own confession of sin, it is so important that we acknowledge the sin that we have committed. You know, you must call a spade a spade. Don't call it a digging tool. Sin is sin. Don't call it a mistake. Whatever area of sin, it must be acknowledged as sin. Don't try and hide it, because it is primarily sin against God. We have sinned against God. 1 John chapter 1 verses 9 and 10. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. The Apostle Paul quoted Psalm 51 verse 4 in Romans chapter 3 and verse 4 as part of his argument that the whole world is guilty before God. All have sinned. Romans chapter 3 verses 3 and 4. What if some were unfaithful? Does their faithlessness nullify the faithfulness of God? By no means. Let God be true, though everyone were a liar, as it is written, that you may be justified in your words and prevail when you are judged. David also confessed that he was not only a sinner by choice, but also a sinner by nature. Psalm 51 verse 5, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Every human being born into this world is born with a sinful nature, which we have inherited from our forefather Adam after the fall. 1 John chapter 1 verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. All of us are born with the sinful nature. When David says, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me, I said earlier, David is not speaking about the biological process of birth. He is speaking about the fact that he was born into this world with a sinful nature. His statement does not suggest that sex in marriage is sinful. Sex is God's wedding gift to husband and wife in marriage. Marriage is sacred, and the marriage bed must not be defiled by adultery and sexual immorality. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 4. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. David is also not making an excuse for disobedience when mentioning his inherited sinful fallen nature. David was only stating that he was no better than any other man in the nation. So he says, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Every human being born into this world is like that. born with this nature of sin. We are sinful not only because we commit sins, we are sinful because we are born with this nature which is sinful. Before God judged the earth through the great flood, His word tells us in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, "The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." The sinful nature of man has corrupted every person individually. That every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Even after the flood judgment, God saw how the human heart was so corrupted by the sinful nature. Genesis chapter 8 verse 21. "And when the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, the Lord said in his heart, 'I will never again curse the ground because of man. For the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I ever again strike down every living creature as I have done. For the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth.'" Jeremiah 17 verse 9. "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it?" Matthew chapter 15 verse 19. "For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander." The Apostle Paul describes the sinful nature of the human heart from verses 19 onwards of Romans chapter 1 right up to the end of the chapter. And I read to you a few verses from Romans chapter 1 verses 19 onwards. Romans chapter 1 verses 19 to 24. "For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves." The sinfulness of human beings does not mean that people can't do anything good. Jesus said in Luke chapter 11 verse 13, "If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" So the sinfulness of human beings does not mean that people can't do anything good. But the goodness of human beings cannot earn them an entrance into God's family. The goodness of human beings cannot get anyone to heaven. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 to 10. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 to 10. "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So we are not saved. We are not saved by any good works, but we are saved to do good works. Titus chapter 3 verses 3 to 7. "For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." So eternal life is a gift of God. The moment we repent and come to Christ by faith, we receive eternal life by grace through faith in the person of Jesus Christ. David knew the truth of God's word, and David loved God's word. Psalm 19 verses 7 to 11. "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. But David had deliberately lied to himself. David knew the truth of God's word, but David had deliberately lied to himself. He had said to himself, I can get away with this. He had also lied to the people, and he tried to lie to God. For nearly a year, David attempted to cover up his sins. But God does not allow his children to sin successfully, because God will chastise his children when his children sin. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 6, for the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. Now David asked God for truth and wisdom in his innermost being. He has repented, he has cried out to God for mercy, he is asking God for truth and wisdom in his innermost being. Psalm 51 verses 6 and 7. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Now, hyssop is mentioned in verse 7. Hyssop was a shrub with hairy stems that could be dipped into liquid, and the priests used hyssop to sprinkle blood or water on people needing ceremonial cleansing. In the book of Leviticus chapter 14 verse 4 we read, the priest shall command them to take for him who is to be cleansed 2 live clean birds and cedar wood and scarlet yarn and hyssop. Leviticus 14 verse 6, he shall take the live bird with the cedar wood and the scarlet yarn and the hyssop, and dip them and the live bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the fresh water. Remember that the blood of the Passover lamb was commanded to be sprinkled on the doorpost of every Hebrew home before the Exodus. Exodus chapter 12, verses 21 to 22. Then Moses called all the elders of Israel and said to them, go and select lambs for yourselves according to your clans and kill the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and touch the lintel and the 2 doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. None of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning. Exodus 12 verse 23. For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the 2 doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your houses to strike you. Today, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ receive their cleansing in the finished work that Jesus accomplished on the cross. 1 John chapter 1 verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his son cleanses us from all sin. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He not only forgives us of our sins, he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Hebrews chapter 10 verses 19 to 22. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. The most priceless thing in the universe is the human soul. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16 verse 26, Matthew chapter 16 verse 26, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? You see, the value of the human soul is seen at Calvary, because our sin required the payment of the blood of Jesus to redeem us. Our salvation cost us nothing. Your salvation, my salvation cost us nothing. But it cost Jesus his very life. It cost his blood being shed on the cross. The narrative regarding David's sin is well known. The way he committed adultery, murdered Uriah, and tried to cover up his sin for a year is well known. The effects were disastrous. Now, if we really understand what sin is, if we really understand what sin is and what sin can do, that would keep us from deliberately sinning against God. But our problem is that we don't see sin the way that God sees it. If we would realize the sinfulness of sin and the consequences of sin, we would flee from it. Sin is a process. David used different words for what he did. Remember the word transgression, which refers to rebellion against God. The word iniquity, which conveys the inner crookedness of the sinner. The word sin, which means to miss the mark. And David also used three verbs to ask for forgiveness. He used the word blot out, which refers to paying a debt. Then he used the word wash, which indicates that sin defiles the entire person. Then he used the word cleanse, meaning that the sinner is like a leper in need of total healing. Now, before you yield to temptation, remember how it damaged David. Count the high cost of committing sin, and you will be less inclined to do so. The human soul was purchased at the highest cost possible. It cost the death of God's own Son. Do you find yourself entertaining temptations? The cost of committing sin is greater than you can afford. When you find yourself beginning the process of sin, claim the promises of God. Claim the promises of God's word. Cling on to the promises of God's word. And God will strengthen you and protect you and enable you to overcome temptation. Are you covering sin or are you conquering sin in your life? Confess any known sin and ask God to cleanse your heart by the blood of Jesus Christ. God wants to forgive you. Jesus Christ died and rose again for your sins. And he can restore you to fellowship with God. 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 17 to 19. 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 17 to 19. And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. It cost Jesus his very life so that you and I could have the free gift of eternal life. Let us bow our heads in prayer.